You know, the children of Israel, they had the golden calf because they wanted something they could see, feel, and touch, something they could bow down and worship. So today, I want to talk to you about a golden calf in all of our lives. So are you ready for this today? We're starting this series called The Good Wife, The Good Husband. Stand up, good wife. Aren't you thankful for Melissa? Woo! I'm thankful for her. I don't remember what her mom said. Miss Sandra said that you guys work so well together. Is that what you said? Yeah. And we do. We do work well together. Do we irritate each other? Melissa's just laughing. And then she lied a little bit right then. But we want to share about marriage, about being single, about just your relationships in general. And what I want to share about today as we kick this series off, this will be different for the next several Sundays. It'll help you. It'll help you be a better communicator. It'll help you be a better spouse. If you're single, it'll help you be a better date. I mean, some people ain't no fun to be with, right? But it'll help you. So this morning, let's stand up on our feet and before we get in the Word, and let's pray out loud together. Would you do that with me right now? Amen. Pray with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I open my heart and I open my ears and I expect you to speak to me and minister to me right where I am. My ears are open and my heart is ready for what you have for me today. In Jesus' name. Now, Father God, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word today. We ask you, Lord, to speak to us, minister to us right where we are. And Lord, we just give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor right now. Hallelujah. And Lord, we just thank you for your word. Oh, your word is so good. Oh, we just give you praise for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All right. We just thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, give your neighbor a high five and you can be seated. Hallelujah. I'm excited about today. This will be fun. And Melissa's going to share. We're going to share together. She doesn't know about that. Hey, while we were on the beach, I had all sorts of things running through my head. I think we ought to do this. I think we ought to do that. Well, that'd be a good message. Let's do this. So I've been thinking about this, though, for a couple months. And if you follow me on social media, whether it's Facebook or Instagram, you know, I'll post quotes. I've been doing these things called Here's Some Pastor's Wisdom for Your Day, and sharing some things that mean a lot to me. But we also would do marriage quotes, and I started doing Here's Some Wisdom from the Good Wife and the Good Husband, and just sharing different things that are important in your life as far as being married. And it's good life lessons if you're single. And I don't care how old you are or how long you've been married. I mean, we've been married for a long time. It's 37 years, coming up on 38. And, you know, and it's not been like, it does not feel like 2 minutes underwater. you get that? But, you know, it's been great. We've had a lot of fun. We've done a lot of things together. We've traveled to a lot of places together. We've ministered to a lot of people. When I was sitting on the beach, I was thinking about all the different people in our lives and how many years have passed. And there's some people that are so close. One of the teenagers that when I was a school principal at our Christian school, he is an executive businessman. He started out running Mr. Jones's company, helping run his company. If you've ever seen the company Check Into Cash. One of our teenagers from our youth group from the Christian school, he helped run a lot of things for Mr. Jones. And Mr. Jones owns a lot of stuff in Cleveland, Tennessee. Now, Clint went from working for this Fortune 500 company to now he is the CEO of a corporation. And he is incredible at what he does. And he'd been involved in some things where he had left one company and they didn't like how he left, so they took him to task on it. He had to hire an attorney, the whole thing. But, you know, this, when was it? Friday? Or Thursday. Thursday he had 100% victory. Because he's a good guy and he tithes, he gives. He tithes to this church. And he's good about it. But all through our lives, I was just thinking about all the people we've touched. And Clint's been a big part of that, ministering to him about his single life and about his all the different things he's been doing. But there's been other people we get to talk to and fellowship with and just encourage them. You know, it's one thing to be married, but are you married and happy?
Amen.
Amen. Are you married? Some of you didn't really think a lot of that, did you? Are you married and happy?
Yeah.
Yeah? You can be single and happy. Woohoo! I said that for you, Crystal. Come on. You got to do the little dance to it. Well, amen. Being single and happy, it's okay. But, you know, God wants your relationships to be heaven on earth, not hell on earth.
Amen.
He wants your relationships to be heaven on earth. Amen. And there's a lot of books out there, a lot of different things, but this is Pastor James and Pastor Melissa's wisdom for you. And today I want to kick it off by knocking over a sacred cow. But before we get to that, let's talk about a few scriptures real quick, okay? Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. And you have them in your handout, but I may say some things you want to write down on the back of your paper. But Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, this is the King James Version. It says, therefore shall a man what? Leave his father and mother. This goes for you girls too. Leave your father and mother. Amen. You don't run back home to mama and daddy. You need to be your own person. I can't tell you how many times I've had to deal with people and they are grown people, but they can't even take care of themselves. And you know, you're supposed to leave and be somebody. Somebody say amen. You leave. You have all the seed that's been sown into your life. Now you need to pull your own britches up and be somebody. Amen. The Bible's clear about this. Leave your father and your mother. And shall what? Cleave. And I say this all the time. It's the best way to tell the Hebrew word for cleave. And I just give a definition for it. But the word cleave, if you want to write it down, it means to forever chase after. Forever chase after, or my favorite is to stick to like glue. And we're not talking about Elmer's glue. We're talking about super glue, Gorilla glue. You stick. You're so tight, you're just stuck in a happy way. Amen?
Amen.
To forever chase after or to stick to like glue. You know, when you first said, I had my laptop on my lap. Of course, it's a laptop on your lap. And I was working on the keynote files, and I was out. And I had to get up 5 this morning to put all this together. So if it's wrong, I'm sorry. I wanted to, you remember when you were in school? Let's see if I can do it here real quick. I don't remember how to do this. I think you do it like that, and you do it like this. But when you cleave, you chase after. You chase after somebody. When you first met, you know, in high school, we used to hand out notes. Oh, I remembered how to do it. Ooh, hallelujah. Got to fold that tab down for the pool. And then you take that in here. Some of you know what I'm doing. You remember this? You'd pass notes in school. And you'd hide it. You know, you write something on it to the girl of my dreams. And you know, and you'd pass them off in school. You'd stick it, you'd stick it in their book if you had study hall or if you were in biology. I did that with this one girl. Had a book, I had a note, and I stuck it in there, and it had pull this, you know. Remember that? Did anybody do this, or am I the only one? Hold your hand up if you did. Thank you so much for your love and support. Amen. And some of you younger people, y'all look at me like a dog at a new bowl, you know. Yeah, you know, you pull the tab, you open it up, and you can write on it, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like Ernest T. Bass. How do I love you? Let me count thee ways. Mrs. Crump is my mama figure. Some of you know. All right, but you know, you're supposed to forever chase after. When you first met that girl of your dreams or that fellow of your dreams, you did nice things for him. You don't stop just because you got him. Amen. You keep on chasing. Amen. But you should always chase after and stick to them like glue. I'm thankful Melissa and I, we've stuck together like glue. We've gone everywhere. We've worked for ministries. We've traveled the country. We've traveled the world. And you know, we just love Jesus. And that's what makes life fun. But Genesis tells us this. This is how we live, happy. First institution God made was the home. He created husband and wife. First institution, not your job. Come on. Not your career, not your kids. If you're older and you're still putting your kids before your spouse, shame on you. You're doing something wrong. Because if you put your kids before your spouse, you won't have a relationship with your spouse when they pack up and move away. Amen. You cleave unto your wife, your husband. And the Bible has a promise with it here. It says, they shall be one flesh. That is a reference to intimacy, but it's also a reference to emotional intimacy, to a connection that's holy. Everybody say holy.
Holy.
That connection is holy in the sight of God. Holy. Which brings me to 1 Peter chapter 3. Bible says here, it says, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding. I think we could interject wives as well. We need to understand each other, don't we? Ephesians chapter 2 in the Amplified, it talks about making allowances one for another because we love each other. You know, marriage is your best opportunity to grow up and quit being immature. Act like somebody. Pull your own britches up. Marriage is your best opportunity to grow up. That's what William Barth talked about in his book about marriage. It's your best opportunity to grow up. And you need to understand one another. Get to know each other. You never do that if you got everything else before your spouse. God first, spouse. You need to catch that. A lot of people disconnect from these things. And they go off on little tangents on things in their life. And they bring division in their home. And they don't realize that they're just opening the door up for the devil to run roughshod through everything. Because it's all about me instead of being all about the Lord and all about my spouse. I'm preaching good here. Amen. You need to understand that. We dwell with them with understanding. We give honor to one another. We honor one another. You know, when we get to heaven, I want to talk to Paul about this. I mean, there's different ways to say this. It's not that we treat them as the weaker vessel. We honor them. We love them. We realize as a man or a woman, there's different giftings that we each have, and we should promote those giftings in each other's lives. Is that a good way to say it this morning? But the last line, I think, to me is probably one of the most mind-blowing concepts. God made you as husband and wife, as a believer, just a believer, and even in your single dating relationships, He made you an heir of the grace of life. You ought to study that. As husband and wife, your heirs what? Together of that grace of life. And you know, if you get outside of that, your prayers can be hindered. If you get outside of that and you're not walking in love, or you're putting everything else before your mate, you're getting yourself in the territory that causes problems. Everybody say problems. Amen. It's so plain and simple. People make it so complicated. They got 8 steps for this, 20 steps for that. I'm telling you, it's simple. Take care of each other. Amen. Well, the next verse I want to read to you. And you may wonder, what in the world has this got to do with anything? Well, hold on. Fasten your safety belt, put your steel-toed shoes on, because I'm coming up to the cow. Amen. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4. And this is New King James. It says, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall what? Increase. Now, a lot of people take this, and in the last days, knowledge will be rampant. or overwhelming. And but I want to present to you this. Read it in the Amplified here. But you, and this is really good, but you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. A lot of times we focus on things that we really aren't a part of our time frame right now. And then it says, then many shall run to and fro and search anxiously through the book, trying to figure it out, come to the knowledge of God's purpose as revealed by his prophets. And that shall be increased and become great. Knowledge has increased. And we're being, land blasted with all sorts of stuff. Gosh, I have some family members, they spend so much time on YouTube, they're flakier than a one-eyed road lizard on I-240 during rush hour. They believe anything that's spoken or talked about. And anybody that calls themselves a prophet, they just fall for it. And you got to test the fruit. Come on, that's good pastoring. But you know, we're supposed to grow in the knowledge of the book. We're supposed to grow in the knowledge of all the things that God has for us. But you can't do that if your mind is everywhere else and cluttered with things that aren't scriptural. Everybody say not scriptural. Oh, so old pastor, help me. Amen. But see, I say that because you have a device in your hand this morning. And a lot of people spend a lot of time on that device. But before we get to the cow, let's look at this verse. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be what? Lovers of themselves. You know, at Disney, when we went to France, we were at the Arch de Triomphe. And I tell you, this girl who was an influencer, she had a fella holding phones on different sticks, and he's walking around her, and she's flipping her hair, and cars are whipping around the Arch de Triomphe there in Paris, and she almost got hit or clipped by this taxi going by. And I was laughing about it. I thought, oh, my gosh. And, you know, I always think about Joe Morris when he says, you know, people will be lovers of themselves. And we got selfie sticks here in the last days. More than what? Lovers of God. And you know, we live in a society. Now, I'll be honest with you. I post things all the time. I never post dirt, and I never post things political. I do have an opinion, and you all know that. But if I start voicing my opinion, I get a little angry, and I don't want to run you off. I feel so bad about Erica Kirk and losing her husband. Charlie had some great things to say the other day, and this is why I wanted my phone, because it goes with the message today. Where's this at? There we go. I have notes in my phone. I hope I can find it real quick. Thank you for your patience. I'm so sorry. Man, I put a lot of notes in here. Anyway, Charlie, on one of his programs, he made this statement, because he's always about Jesus. And if you watch his debates, you need to watch him in their total form, because he always talked about Jesus. He really is the modern-day Billy Graham for this generation. And he made a statement, and if I can't find it, I'm just going to paraphrase the quote. He was talking about how this world has so much going on, but we need to be so anchored in Christ that the chaos around me doesn't create chaos within me. Isn't that good? And then he talked about how important it is that we minister to people, that we love on people. But one of the things he said was, and I'm just not going to worry about finding it because I have so many notes there. Turn your phone off. Turn the TV off. Focus on the King. Because he's the one that gives you stability and peace. Which brings me to a video I want to show you this morning. You know, it says in last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, and without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors. I love the T got knocked off. Traitors, headstrong, haughty lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, what are you supposed to do? Turn away, turn around. Amen. Well, my message today is this. Do you treat your spouse better than your smartphone? Oh, it's going to be good. Do you treat your spouse better than your smartphone? And then I got a commercial I want you to see. Are you ready? I mean, curl your toes, because some of us, you know, we spend a lot of time on that electronic device, on YouTube, on all this stuff, and we're doing it sacrificing not only our relationship with the Lord. You may think you're feeding yourself, but you really need to be in the Bible. I said you really need to be in the Bible.
Amen.
And I'm a big believer you need to have a physical Bible in your hand that you can mark up, that you can write notes in, that you can go back to, because you need to be able to find a reference in a sword drill where you can find that scripture lickety-split. Because when you memorize something when you don't need it, the Holy Ghost will bring it to your remembrance when you do. But some people are so involved being an influencer, posting the latest fashion fad, all this stuff, and I want you to see this one couple. Are you ready, Joe? Is it on?
You ready, babe?
Hey, can you drive? I got some work to do.
Okay. This place is sweet.
Yeah, sweet.
Come on, we're here. Look around. Dude, look. Check out these crazy rocks.
You know what's crazy? It's like, how come this thing is not connecting? Bluetooth not on?
Not even looking at the snow.
He's getting prepared.
Well, we're home.
Finally, I get some Wi-Fi.
So I'm asking you today, is your spouse more important, or is your cell phone? For this fella, it didn't turn out too good. Didn't turn out too good at all. Oh, so sad. So sad. Trying to see where I'm at. Oh, we're talking about being a good wife and a good husband. Some of you may identify with this one. I read an article the other day about a man who sat on the toilet for over 30 minutes. I think the article actually stated he sat on the toilet for over 2 hours. On his phone. Did you know for months, almost 6 months to a year, he became paralyzed from the waist down because he was worshiping the golden calf that he held in his hand. This is why I'm talking about this. The doctors called it toilet seat neuropathy. The honest to truth. Isn't that good? It's true. I'm being honest. It is a true story. Toilet seat neuropathy. What a statement. That'd make a great t-shirt, wouldn't it? I don't have toilet seat neuropathy. All right. You know, the doctor said sitting too long on hard surfaces compresses the nerves and you lose blood flow. That's why you're supposed to walk around on an airplane if you're on a long flight. So this morning, in the next 30 minutes, I want to give you some things about, do you treat your spouse better than your smartphone? Okay? And I want you to listen. If you're single, don't take your phone and have it at the table. If you're going out just for coffee, put your phone, leave it in the car. Or put it away where you can't see it. Usually at a restaurant, I try to put my phone upside down on the table. Unless it's before church and there's communication going on, I try to do that. Some people, you know, when at the dinner table, I made a decision when we were at the beach, I'm not even going to bring my phone to the dinner table anymore. It is not that important. If my life is so important that I have to have my phone with me all the time, I don't have a grace to be married. Because my spouse is more important than my phone. Come on, you hearing me? Do you touch your spouse more than your screen? If you go on your iPhone, you can look up how much screen time you've had in the past week. Mine tells me every Sunday morning how many hours I've been on this phone. I read an article when we got back from the festival. There's no single average for how much quality time couples spend together, but one source indicates that couples generally spend 2 to 2.5 hours per day together. Though this often includes, get this, activities like watching TV, doing chores, not necessarily deep, meaningful interaction. Some sources suggest the minimum, this is the scary one, a minimum of 15 to 30 minutes of focused one-on-one conversation is daily and ideal in this world we live in. 15 minutes, all because our minds are consumed with everything else digital except the physical that should matter more than anything else. The physical should matter more than anything else. Can I hear an amen from the married folks? What happens is if you're on your phone all the time and you're two ships passing in the night and there's no contact, there's no emotional connection. I mean, dear Lord, when Adam lost his rib, he woke up and knew that something was wrong. And he asked God, hey, what happened? He said, look around, pal. And there she was, both of them naked as jaybirds. And he's like, wow! He's been naming everything that he couldn't kiss, couldn't make love to. But then he saw that woman. She's now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Thank you, God. And then God gave him the best thing of all. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Whoa, no problem, God. They got it. Your spouse should be the most important aspect of your entire life. Above your kids and their needs. I'm not saying you neglect, but if you neglect each other, I really believe you're neglecting the command of the Most High God. Because there's tons of scripture that talk about satisfying each other, taking care of one another. Do you touch your spouse more than your screen? So you ought to prioritize your spouse more. You should treat your spouse like the most important person in your life because they should be. Amen. Amen. And today, I want to give you five ways you can prioritize your spouse over your phone. All right? And it's not going to be on the screen, so you better write them down. If you write things down, you'll remember about 75% of it. But if you just look at me, you're going to forget 75% of it. You need to take notes. Notes are important. It's how you pass tests in school. Am I right, fellas? Okay, yeah, that's fine. I understand that. I got to use my phone to take notes. For shame, for shame, for shame. No, you know, let's be honest. And if you don't mind, just for the sake of time, I'm going to keep my head focused on my notes so we get out of here on time. Let's be honest. Putting your phone down when you're with your wife or your husband is way harder than it should be. And I get it. I'm on social media. I was so excited about winning that trophy, man. I took a picture of it in my hand, and I sent it. We have a group on our text group called Fab Farmers, and everybody in our family gets the text. I was so jazzed about winning that trophy. That was a big deal. And put a picture of the car up, you know. I get on my phone quite often. I use it to check my emails. I have it with me most of the time. Most of the time, though, a lot of times it's muted. I have the volume turned completely down. I do that on purpose. I started doing a habit of that after I turned the news off a couple years ago. And sometimes it's bad because some people try to get hold of me. I want my focus to be focused. You understand? I want my focus to be focused. But I get it. You know, having your phone with you, that's great. I remember when Bluetooth headsets came out. I thought that was the most annoying thing. Go in the bathroom, hear somebody out on the phone on the toilet. That's just nasty to me. Come on, shout me down.
Amen.
Amen. If you're that important, I mean, come on. I'm used to having mine with me. I check my email. I scroll through Instagram, Facebook. I used to get on Twitter a lot. I don't do that anymore. I don't think I've updated my Twitter since Christmas 2 years ago. I just haven't done it. There's just so much junk on Twitter these days. It's constant. It's rampant. Years ago, we used to have answering machine messages. You know, we had a tape. Anybody have a tape answering machine? I used to have fun with mine and put songs on it and do little drama skits on the tape. Me and another guy named Greg, we did Hudson and Landry. That's an old comedy group. And, hey, he's not home. Nope, he's not home. Let's go put the dog in the dryer. And if you hear the tone, leave a message. We had fun with it, all right? But, you know, some things in life become second nature, and our phone has become a part of our flesh. Instead of buffeting it, I mean, Paul said Buffett, right? Not Jimmy Buffett, but Buffett. Buffett means you're going to put it under. I need to let it go. It doesn't need to be second nature. But if I'm going to be real with you as your pastor today, you know, there's been times I've given more of my attention to the screen than this amazing woman sitting right here. We have to not do that. Drives me crazy. We went and saw, I don't mind telling you, we went and saw Downton Abbey while we were at the beach. And we had fun. It was really cool to see the movie, and they brought it to a close. It was sweet. But, you know, there was a lady down on the front row. I don't know if you saw it, but she's on her phone the entire movie. That aggravates me. You know why? Because if you understand drama, half of a movie is action. The other half is dialogue. If you miss half of the action, you'll miss purpose as for what the dialogue was for. You have to be paying attention to things. That's why you read books instead of waiting for the movie. You get more out of it. Amen. But our phones, our digital devices, have become like a second nature to us. And the distance it creates, it doesn't happen all at once, but the distance that your electronic device creates happens slowly. And we start to feel disconnected from one another. And half of the time, we don't even realize it until things are really off and you're barking at one another like mad dogs. Because you've let other things take precedence over the emotional connection that you need to have with each other. And just while I'm at it, can I meddle a little bit? When it comes to sex as married couples, both of you should take time initiating. Both of you. Amen. Because if y'all sit around, you're going to get dry as toast. You need to initiate. You need to do that because there needs to be an emotional connection. If you don't, resentments begin to develop. And those resentments will cause barking to take place. And I'm just using that as another way of saying nagging and griping and complaining and whining and carrying on. And you get to where you're a Coke bottle with a cork in it, and you're just shaking all the time. And pretty soon, that cork's going to fly out, and it's going to spew everywhere. But see, our digital devices create distance between us, and that's not God's best. Adam and Eve didn't have an electronic device in the garden. They were together. The two became what? I have learned when I intentionally, you want to write this down, when I intentionally put my wife before my digital devices, everything in my life and in your life, if you'll do it, will shift. Everybody say shift. And we need to have a shift in our life where things shift. We start putting other priorities first, and we realize how much of a greater connection there is between the two of us. If you will intentionally put your spouse or your anybody you're having a relationship with, if you would, if you're dating, if you put them before your device, everything will change. Did you know even small changes, like I told you, like right now, my phone is, yes, it is silent. My phone is silent. Just silencing your phone changes things. Leaving it in another room. Deciding not to pick it up during dinner. Picking your phone up during dinner, that sends a clear message that the person you're with is not important. Hello. And come on, y'all, we all do it, don't we? We all do it. Who's important? Well, that person you're going to spend the rest of your life with, that's who's important. And we need to connect. Did you know that AI, I saw an article about it, it's creating sexual partners through AI. And you can dress yourself, and even for ladies and for men, you can dress your sexual partner any way you want them to be and make them say anything you want them to say. Digital substitution for godly relationship. It's all the flesh. And it's destructive. It's taking you away from what matters the most. And that is a relationship that is eternal. A relationship is eternal. I can't take money. I can't take my house. I love my car, but I can't take my car to heaven. The only thing I can take to heaven is the people I love. My spouse, my kids, my grandkids, whenever that happens. I have granddogs right now. And a grandcat now. Andrew got a cat. Oh, they have a cat too. Thomas and Hallie have a cat. Mochi. What's Andrew's cat's name? I forgot. Rue. You know, it's the simple things that should matter the most. Just silencing your phone sends a message that they're more important. Not having your phone at the dinner table means they're more important. You know, it's those intimate moments that you build that matter the most, make the best of things. That connection deepens within everything else that you do, and it also deepens your physical intimacy. So I told you that I'm going to give you five ways you can show your spouse that they're more important, or that you're if you're in a dating relationship with somebody, or if you're single, learn something here. There are five ways you can show your spouse that they're more important than your phone. Number one, be present. What does that mean, Pastor? Well, put your phone away during conversations. Why? Because it shows that you value your partner's words and you value your partner's time. Because they're making time for you. You ought to act like it's important. And the more you train yourself to do this, you'll find your relationship will be deeper than anything you've ever had before. Number two, set up phone free. In quotes, phone free. Set up phone free. Yeah, turn that phone off. Amen. We'll teach on phone etiquette soon. No, just kidding. You see, you ought to set up phone-free times. What does that mean, Pastor? Well, that means dedicate moments like meal times, bedtime, just to connect with your spouse and not your phone. If that thing's more important, you got to be careful. Pretty soon, touches are cold. Pretty soon, you don't kiss anymore. Pretty soon, you don't touch. And you won't be singing that song anymore. Sometimes when we touch. That won't be there. just won't be there. Is this good?
Yeah.
All right, hang on. Love you. I'm going to really throw the cow over now in its own dung. All right, here we go. Just to connect to your spouse, it's a shame that people are only spending basically 15 minutes of focused, intimate time with one another. And intimate doesn't have to be sexual or physical. Intimate means you're just talking about life and your happiness. It's important. Which brings me to the number three. You should, number three, prioritize your spouse. Prioritize your spouse. What does that mean? Don't resist checking notifications when you're spending time together. Anybody have a Ring doorbell cam? Come on, you show it. So, God, pastor's going to get me. No, I'm not telling you, get rid of your doorbell cam. But we were on the beach. You had that little sound went off. I had the phone in a bag or something because I didn't want sand to get in it. You know, William was going to call us, and we were working on something. But the phone, you know, when the Ring doorbell can, somebody comes up to the door, you know, and you open that thing up, I can actually see who's at the door. I can push the microphone and say, hey, how are you? We're not, you know, talk to him. Just leave it right there. We'll come out and get it later. But listen to me. Notifications are not as important as your spouse. Now, I'm not saying emergency situations. Do you understand Pastor's point here? You put one another first. You put one another first. We live in a society that has become so digitized that we have numbness that has crept in not only to our marriages, but with our kids, with church, with everything. We are emotionally numb because we're more digitally tickled, digitally stimulated over real flesh and blood connection. Amen. Resist checking notifications when you're spending time together. What number are we on here? Four? All right, you ready? Use your phone for love. Say, what? Well, it's like this note that I was telling you about when I was in school. If you did that, if you passed notes. They had another one they did. It looked like a little octagon thing, you know. I'm telling my age. I have the talking paper. Use your phone for love. You know, I send Melissa sometimes little GIFs. If you know what a GIF is, it's some animated thing you can send instead of a text. I send her, can I just be honest? I mean, I need to be honest with you so you understand. I sent her a digital GIF that said, you are so hot. Or you're the most amazing woman ever. But see, if you don't act on things that show love, you know, we have a disconnect. Use your phone for sending the proper text. The proper response. Amen. Use your phone for love. Send sweet messages to build intimacy instead of just using it for entertainment. You know, there's a scripture in Proverbs, and people misread it and don't understand it. But it's talking about the husband and wife, and it talks about how a wino just gets excited as if he sniffed the cork. And it's talking about being excited about seeing your spouse. It's like a wino sniffing a cork all over again. Woo! And ready to run home and make a love connection. Some of you catching it? Build intimacy with one another. I will save that for when we talk about other things later. I had a thought, but I'm going to save it. Number five, right? Number five, Celebrate quality time. Celebrate quality time. You know, plan activities without your phone. What does that do? It strengthens your bond because you're talking. Melissa asked what my wish list was, and I gave her a list of things. She was a little overwhelmed by the things I wanted to do. And then I've been saying it for several years, I want to go to the beach. I want to go to the beach. Well, we went to the beach, and it was so good. We had a good time. But we sat down and planned. When we decided we were going to the beach, I think we were just sitting on the love seat in our bedroom, and I had something that had come in an email, and I said, hey, they're offering $500 off here to have a house on the beach. And I was like, let's do it. It was reasonable. It was something we could do and afford. And that's why we went to the place we went to down in Fort Morgan. But you know, use your phone to put it away so you can have quality time together. You can strengthen your bond. You can plan activities. You can do things that build a love connection, a priority to one another. And let me close with this morning. All right? Let me put it to you straight. If your phone gets more eye contact than your spouse, it's time to reprioritize. When was the last time you just looked in each other's eyes and had goo-goo eyes? I know some of you are single, so I would love to do that. But you want to be with the right person, right? Okay, I get that. But you need to remember this. God created your flesh. He created your flesh. He created your emotions. We serve an emotional God. There's all sorts of references to how he laughs, he cries, he can be vexed in Scripture. God created your emotions. You need to quit letting them be led by a digital device and let them be led by the one you said I do and I will for the rest of my life. Can you say amen?
Amen?
See, if your phone gets more eye contact than your spouse, it's time that you reprioritize. You know where love grows? Love grows where attention goes. Love grows where attention goes. If all of your attention is on a digital device, your love, the only love that's growing, is your emotional connection to something digital that's not a part of God's plan. You're a spiritual being. You are living in a body that he created. You need to connect with the one that you said, I do, I will, for the rest of my days. Your spouse, you get more attention than your phone. Putting your phone down tells your spouse that you matter more. Presence builds connection, and presence not only builds connection, but connection builds intimacy. Connection builds intimacy. And I'm going to tell you something. Your marriage deserves undivided moments. Your relationship deserves undivided moments. Somebody say amen. And today, as I close right here at this line, if you need a break from your phone or your electronic device addiction so that you can feed your spousal addiction, you need to do that. Put it away. Michelle, I think it's Mike. Joe knows this too. I know Mike's talked about it. He talked about it with me. Mike works in a special part of the military. They pick him up. One of the jobs, they'd pick him up. He'd have to take his wallet, his phone, and everything, put it in a lead box. And then he'd get in another car to go to another facility, so it's all no outside contact whatsoever. What would happen in your marriage if you spent time like that? You put your device away. I'm telling you, it will bring a fire to your marriage. If you're dating, it'll bring a fire to that date. Some people don't know if they can connect to you because you're too engulfed in your own pride and your own self. Because like the scripture says, in the last days, people will be more lovers of themselves than lovers of God. And part of God's creation is that the two become one. You with me this morning? So let's be a good wife. Let's be a good husband. And next Sunday, Melissa and I are both going to share about 10 characteristics of a healthy marriage, okay? And we've got a special guest coming in next Sunday that we've had on the books for over a year. I haven't heard from him, David Husky, but I believe he's coming. But the next Sunday after that, Melissa and I are going to do this one together. And this will be really good, as I think we need it. And these 10 characteristics of a healthy dating relationship, it applies vice versa. These are good things you need to know, need to do. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care how long you've been married. You've been married 50 years. You've been married 30. You've been married 20. I mean, goodness gracious. Big story in country music was Nicole Kidman and the country star is already filing for divorce. Been married for 20 years. Everybody thought it was a storybook marriage. But there was a disconnect. And the article is really clear where the disconnect was. You just read, if you read it, you'll find out. And I'm encouraging you to get on your phone. Never mind. I'm messing with you. But you know, disconnects can create vast gulfs. And we don't need that, especially in this world we're living in. We need to be better connections with one another, whether it's dating, whether it's our marriages, whether you're with somebody you think this is the one, there needs to be a true connection because it changes the big picture for all of eternity. Amen? Amen. All right. Did you enjoy this? Amen. All right. Well, bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Amen. Father, we just thank you today for your word. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us, ministering to us through it. Lord, we just thank you. All of us want to be better relationship partners, better spouses, Lord. All of us want to do that. We want to be good wives, good husbands. Lord, I just thank you that we are quick to recognize where we've allowed something to take precedence over everything that should be important. Lord, you gave us the love of our lives, Lord, so that we can spend time with them, so that we can get to know them, so that we understand their needs, their goals, their vision. Lord, those things are important. Over time, we get to where we don't communicate because we let other things take precedent. Lord, let us realize today that we need to arrest and put in jail those things that we've allowed to take control of our lives and let you be first. Just as we've let other things take us away from our spouse, Lord, we should not let other things take us away from our walk with you. It's your word that is golden. It is your word that is the truth that sets us free. And yes, Lord, I know that we can get encouragement from other preachers and things. I get that. But Lord, there's that intimate time with you where we put down the phone, we open up the good book, as we call it, and we hear the heartbeat of God through the written word. Lord, may we be sensitive to you just as we become more sensitive to our spouses, to our kids, to family, to friends, and our dating relationships. Let us not have substitutions, but let us have real love. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you need to make changes with your digital device, I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but you know what? I'm sure you can find time to mute it, put it away, and let Jesus be Lord. I'm not saying he can't be Lord while you have it, but maybe a good hour break would be nice. Maybe a good 12 hours would be nice. Focus on the one you love. Was it Stephen Stills had the song, Love the One You're With? Oh, we need to make sure we're loving the one we're left with. The internet's in your relationships. Amen. heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're watching online or if you're here in person, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, why don't you do that right now? It's real easy to do. You just ask Jesus, say, Jesus, come into my heart. Make me brand new. I want to live for you all my days. I want to be born again. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you were raised from the dead. Come into my heart. I want to change. If that's you and you're watching today, if you're here today, we're all going to pray together real quick. And it's so easy to have Jesus come into your life. All you got to do is say these words. Pray together with me, church. And if you're watching today, if you're here, pray with us. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you and I ask you, forgive me of all of my sins. I believe you sent Jesus to live and walk this earth. He bled and he died for me so that I could ask him into my heart. I believe that. I believe, Lord, that you raised him from the dead. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me brand new. From this moment forward, I will live all of my days for you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you that I'm born again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.